Yes, indeed. Welcome back into our special edition of Sports Talk. Nicholls State University in Thibodaux at the Manning Passing Academy. Folks are filing into the stadium here now as we get ready for the Air It Out competition coming up at 8 p.m. this evening. The weather doing great right now. Like we've been talking about, this breeze has been beautiful. The sun's really down now, so it's feeling a lot cooler.
Every year for the Manning Passing Academy, if we get it like this, it's a little overcast. It's not super hot.
It's perfect.
Yeah, we got a few a little gnats, but
that's all right.
I'd rather take that and it'd be 101 degrees and that 100-degree humidity. We have with us as one of our guests. She's here virtually every year at the Manning Passing Academy, Chrissy Freud. Chrissy works for USA Today, covers college football, the NFL, also does a great job of evaluating quarterbacks. And so what better place than the Manning Passing Academy, right, Chrissy?
Yeah, it's my favorite event to come to by far every single year. And I feel like it's such an underrated opportunity for reporters, just the access that you have, all the top quarterbacks, except for a few guys. Very disappointed to see that Carson Beck was not here this year. But, I mean, it's everybody in one place, and there's not a whole lot of interference, and you don't find that anywhere else. And I notice more national-level reporters coming this year, so I guess it's starting to get noticed, but it's been quite a gem for me, specifically every season.
So right before I get to interview Kate Klubnik, passes Chrissy a comment. So Chrissy, I'll let you go with that one.
Yeah, I really appreciated the candor that he showed. I mean, that's, like I said, about the not having a lot of restrictions here. I feel like the guys let loose a little bit more, and there's not a lot of coach speak. But I think that's kind of just something that maybe comes naturally to him. He certainly didn't pull any punches today. He said to me, last year I went here and there were two people that interviewed me and I had to see the swarms of the crowds around the other quarterbacks. And then added to that, he said, and then also last year everyone said that I sucked, and I don't really use that as, I don't let it get to me, but at the same time somehow he lets it, it fuels him. And he said that he's still quote unquote living off of that just a little bit.
It'll be interesting. Week one, mm-hmm. LSU with Garrett Nussmeier going to Clemson. And, again, Brian Kelly's had difficulties. Three straight losses in season openers going up against Clemson in their own backyard.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. And it comes down to the quarterback battle, in my opinion. And it's going to show which of these two guys, and maybe they both still prevail. They're considered to be in the top five right now. And I feel like Garrett Nussmeier is kind of harnessed. When we look back at the beginning of his career, it's a lot of gunslinger tendencies. And it's a really high ceiling. But there's a lot of quarterbacks that have a really high ceiling. But you'll see that some of them have a lot of things to harness in to not take it too far, to take too many risks. And I think he's coming into his own on that. And then Cade Klubnik, it's not the same as Bo Nix. They're two very different quarterbacks, yep. But it's the same case of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like, I remember looking at Cade Klubnik last year and be like, oh, okay, like, here we go. Like, this is the top five quarterback. It's, oh, wait, no, we don't here in the same game sometimes. And he specifically told me that he was trying to work on decision-making and not making stupid mistakes. And he specifically mentioned whenever he gets outside of the pocket, whenever he goes on the run, that's where he feels like he's making the majority of his mistakes. So just kind of honing some of that stuff. And he said he's looking forward to in year three shouldering a lot more pre-snap responsibilities as well.
You and I like one guy, and he made great strides last year, mm-hmm. Norris Sellers.
Yeah,
and he's a big dude and he can run, but he showed last year so much improvement with his setup, his delivery. It wasn't just an arm throw. He was actually putting touch and using everything mechanically that you have to develop into a top-flight quarterback. But I know you really like Sellers also.
Yeah, I spoke to him last season about some of his development. And I think what Lenora Sellers brings is really what makes up this new sense of electricity that South Carolina has. South Carolina's been a really exciting team to watch as of late. And I think it's because of him, and he simply has the it factor. I think he's light years ahead of where he should be in terms of age and in terms of experience. You talked about some of the things that he improved on, but I talked to his high school coach, and he says he just he saw the same look in his eye, I believe it was in the Mizzou game, that he did in the state championship, and he said that's when you know that he's going to make it happen within like 20, 30 seconds, went down and won that game. We all thought that it was over at that point. And just, it sounds simple, but the ability to do things like that, it's going to be exciting to watch how he continues to progress, like I said, already so far ahead of schedule.
Bob Abe and I talk about this all the time. How the hell did they lose to LSU? When you think about that game, everything sort of broke right for them, especially in the first half. LSU makes that run, and then, you know, Nuss throws a pick, and somebody just tries to decapitate Nuss, basically kind of ends it. They get the ball back, and then you miss a field goal at the end.
Yeah, that was the theme with South Carolina last season. They're going to give you a really big issue no matter who you are. And I think they scared a lot of teams that thought
they were going to get
an easy win, but half of those times, they weren't able to finish it out. And that's kind of something Lenoris and some of the others on that team were saying last season, that they need to focus more on finishing and not letting it get away from them, not causing problems for other teams and losing it just by an inch.
All I know is their defense won't be as good, not with all that talent that's headed to the NFL. Man, they had some cats that could play on the defensive side of the football. I think they'll be a better offensive team this year. But defensively, man, to lose what they lost, that's a lot to replace for the Gamecocks. Anybody in particular, from a young quarterback standpoint, that you're looking forward to watching and his growth this year?
I would say, from a young quarterback perspective specifically, probably Gunnar Stockton. It's going to be interesting to watch what happens at Georgia. And you've got Jared Curtis, you've got Gunnar Stockton, Ryan Puglisi. There's, honestly, in my opinion, this might be the most questionable quarterback room that Georgia has had in a really long time. And I'm not entirely sold on Gunnar Stockton. I think that a lot
Neither
of
am I.
I think what it is Georgia fans miss Stetson Bennett so badly that they kind of saw something similar, because Carson Beck, in this sense, kind of like a JT Daniels, I guess you could say. And then Gunnar comes in and wins a really big, really big high-stakes postseason game. But you could see that he was not ready at the line of scrimmage at all. There's a lot of things he needs to fix, and in that next game, that all showed. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed, and I'm not sure he's quite ready from a development perspective. But, I mean, he could prove everyone wrong. It's the same thing that Stetson Bennett did, but I do think there's a little bit of an overhype because the narrative's a little bit similar, and I think Georgia's longing for that so much.
One of the guys that caught my eye here is Levitt from Arizona State, and so I get to interview him, and he was like, I'm going to miss that Scatterbo guy. He kind of took a lot of pressure off me because, you know, the best thing for a quarterback is to have a running game, and they had it with him. And to think 2 years ago, he's at Sacramento State.
Yeah.
And then he comes in, man, this ain't nothing. Oh, against these guys, I got it. But I saw a lot of improvement with Levitt, who's an Oregon kid that goes to Michigan State and ends up at Arizona State. And they had a magical ride last year, the Sun Devils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that every year you kind of have those wild card, dark horse quarterbacks, and he's clearly risen a lot from kind of the unknown under the radar. So it's going to be interesting to see what he's able to do moving forward this season. But he is kind of one of those that fits in that he's going to really, really be successful or fall off the grid really quickly.
One of the guys I wanted to ask you about is the Florida quarterback in Lagwell, because we saw him as a freshman, and okay, he comes out highly touted. I think he's a five-star recruit, maybe either the number one quarterback in the country, and you know, that quarterback gets KO'd in the first game against Miami of Florida, and he had a rough ride early on, but late in the year, DJ was really, really good.
Yeah, I think that's a health thing, and I think it's also a Florida thing, if you will. You look at those two things. Staying healthy is paramount for a quarterback. We watch some of these guys that are highly touted that are supposed to be first-round NFL picks fall off because they just can't stay healthy. And at the end of the day, I think some quarterbacks are cursed, but at the same time, it is the responsibility of the quarterback to stay healthy. Matt Hasselbeck told me that very early on in my career, and it kind of gave me a new perspective. So I think he brings a lot of raw tools to the table. He's another one that I think didn't win the Gatorade Award for nothing. So from a mental perspective as well. So if Florida can keep its foot on the gas from the way that it was turning things around at the end of last year. And if he can stay in full health, I think that he's going to return back to the stature that we originally had him at.
And Gators are going to be tough. If he stays healthy and they make that run, the Gators are going to be a tough out. Chrissy, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Always great insights. And thank you so much for coming here. And like I said, you are sort of a fixture here at the Manning Passing Academy.
Absolutely. I kind of feel like it's my thing, so I appreciate that.
Thanks so much, Chrissy.
Thank you.
Freud does a great job covering not only college sports, also covers the Falcons, the NFL, for USA Today.